The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon. While it's meant to be comedic informative, sometimes we have to get into things like child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I am Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I'm joined, as always, by Haley, a.k.a. Chaley, a.k.a. Arizona Right Watch.
Hello, listeners. I hope you're all doing spectacular today.
I hope they're having an incredible whatever day you're listening to this podcast on, probably Sunday or Monday. We're also joined by Eric, the Deep State Operative.
Hey there. I also hope you're having a good day. Maybe even slightly better than Haley hopes.
Wow. This fucking guy.
He's mansplaining optimism. I mean, it's incredible. It's just vicious.
He's so one-upping me.
Yeah.
We get it. Your life is better than mine. It's cool.
immediately his son like runs in and goes, "Dad, you're the best dad ever," and just gives him a huge hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gives you a dollar that he found on the floor. He's like, "I wanted you to have this."
Yes. Oh God, all of it. Yeah. Yeah. And we are also joined by Steph.
Hi.
I knew Steph was going to give us the absolute low effort intro. I 100% knew that was coming. I was like, we're going to get a word out of her if we're lucky.
I know. I had more stuff I was going to say, but I was like, no, I'm going to keep my mouth quiet so we can introduce Stephanie before the 1 hour mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why start now?
30 minutes of intros. 15 minutes of bullshit about stuff that's not QAnon and politics. 10 minutes of the horrors of the world, and then back to bullshitting, because who actually wants to deal with this stuff is really what it comes down to. The amount of sugar we need to get the pill down your throat is so bad at this point. It's like the show is now all sugar. It's just all sugar all the time.
It's now a video game and sports podcast and Pokemon lore podcast. That's what we're doing now.
Pokemon and politics.
Oh God, I just changed my avatar. Well, the thing is I couldn't do Pikachu because my avatar is like a very obscure like couple of poker cards, so I'd have to be like some like really random Pokemon. Although,
how about Pokerchu?
Oh God,
create your own.
That hurt. That physically hurt me.
No, create your own. If I can figure out this damn photo editor, maybe I can do it.
Pokemon is a card game, so you would just have to have like a couple Pokemon cards.
But Pokemon cards don't frame the way poker cards do. They don't no. Like, you just can't look at the top right corner and know everything about a Pokemon card. There's a lot of data on them.
That's where AI is your friend.
Yeah, right. Oh my God. What I was going to say is they just posted a video of a Pokemon named Hawk Lucha, who is a luchador bird, and the luchador bird fought Machamp in a battle in a wrestling ring, and they did basically Machamp's getting the upper hand. They basically did like the Rocky montage where Hawk Lucha and their trainer are like having flashbacks to all their like grinding it out in the small times and in the dingy gyms. And then Hawk Lucha has their mega transformation where they don a luchador mask and they have a cape. And then they just start going to town on Machamp and they beat his ass and they win the big fight. So
I like them because in Pokemon Go, they're the regional exclusive to Mexico. Because they're a luchador, and I want one so bad. I like them. I think they're cute. Shout out to my fellow Latinos. Halucha.
Halucha.
I was afraid that you're going to tell me that Hawk Lucha evolved into their ultimate form, Hawk Tua.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No.
Wow. A Hawk Tua reference in the year of our Lord, September 2025.
I am constantly 2 years behind the times.
No, I'm just kidding. I want to talk about a video game that I have definitely not been playing, called Date Everything. Have you guys heard of this?
No, I have not.
I have, but I know nothing about it.
Okay. It's awesome because it's like every single voice actor that you've heard in video games, like for the last 20 years, makes an appearance in this. Because there's like over like 200 fucking characters that you can unlock. And especially you just go around your house and you kind of like, it's like you see your computer or you see your toilet or you see your mouse on your keyboard or your circuit box or your curtains. And you just fill it with a little heart emoji until it becomes this humanized kind of version of the object that you just filled up with hearts. It's just a dating sim, but it's so fucking absurd. And there's a lot of just, Zuko is a voice in it, from Avatar The Last Airbender, and he has some very horny lines, which was like, wow. Wow, this is uncomfortable because I love that show and what's happening. But it's a funny game. It's just like pure absurdity. It's literally made by like people that are in the voice acting world, which is how they got all these people. But apparently,
yeah. I'm taking a quick look. I just noticed Dana Snyder, who guys our age would best know as Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
The voice of Ash is in it. You know, like the people in the Batmans, they're all popular. But yeah, it's a very funny game. I would recommend it if people are into pure absurdity and spent way too much time on Tumblr in their youth, because it is like made by the most Tumblr core people imaginable.
I was looking up the voice actors because I wanted, you said everybody's in it. I was looking for this one guy. I can't remember exactly how to say his name, but, he was, I mean, Mike, you would know who he was because he was the most hated character in season 5 of Babylon 5. The guy who played Byron.
Oh, the thing is I blocked out season 5 in my mind entirely because season 5 just sucked so bad. Like, all of season 5 sucks. So,
well, he does a ton of voice acting, which is why I wanted to go look him up. But no, he is not in this game. He might be the one who isn't.
The voice of Ellie and Joel from Last of Us are in it. Like, so many people are in it. What's up, Steph? What's going on?
I was just looking for a pen to write something down.
I thought you had something so important to say that you were
I just figured something out that I had been working on for like a really long time, and I'm super happy about it. I'm like, I can't forget this.
Speaking of gaming though, Steph, you should talk about what you've been doing in your game. Cause it's cool.
I've been making my own stuff and it's been incredibly empowering because I made an Alex Jones fleshlight for my Sims. All right. Like, cause I guess there's an Alex Jones stress ball and it totally looks like the face of a sex doll. And I was like,
I figured there had to be a story behind that, how you came up with that.
Well, it was just a picture that I saw in a pop-up ad when I was on InfoWars one night. And I'm like, that looks like an Alex Jones sex doll. And so now my Sims have an Alex Jones fleshlight, and it's got like the InfoWars logo on it and all that. And I made Spencer Sunshine's book in my Sims game. I made Mike Rothschild's Jewish space lasers in my Sims game. So, like, I have Knowledge Fight posters.
Wait, the book or actual space lasers?
No, the book. I don't know how to make my own. I can't make my own stuff yet, but I'm learning how to, like, clone objects and basically, like, recolor them. So I take a book that already exists.
Yeah, retexturing.
And I add my own.
I think that's what they call a retexturing.
Yeah, in The Sims they call it recoloring. But I'm learning stuff because I have a hard time with math and geometry and spatial reckoning and stuff like that. And I'm actually employing parts of my brain that have been dead for decades. And that is like a really, really huge step for me. And the fact is I keep like running into these brick walls. And normally I would just give up, but I'm still doing it. So that is that it's, this is like this isn't just a game. This is like a life changer that I'm actually doing this.
Hey, self-growth is self-growth, no matter how you're doing it.
I shared it with my support, with my doubt support group in our group chat. I was like, you guys, I just had a major breakthrough. And I shared it with you guys too, so.
I like that we just talked about off stream, various ways that we used to kill our Sims in older versions, which, I used to do the classic, you fill the room with ovens and then remove the door and then your homies turn into ash. There's probably more creative ones. I was just a little kid, like,
And for anyone out there who's a fan of The Sims 4, look up Sacrificial Junior. He has an extreme violence mod that allows you to like join gangs and you can kill people. And like, and then he has one called Zombie Apocalypse. And what I used to do is I would journey to Batu, the Star Wars world you can journey to in the game. If you have the expansion pack, I would go there and I would give a bunch of stormtroopers the virus. And then I would go back home. There's this huge zombie outbreak all over the place. It's just great. There's so many ways to kill Sims now.
So that's what I was worried about. The lack of sim death was really ruining everything. It's like the way Elon's worried about falling birth rates, I was worried about Sims not being killed. And thank God, thank goodness we can put them in the dirt.
Well, I mean, you know, Immortal Sims, that just creates, you start running out of living space and Malthus shows up and all, it's just bad.
Yeah.
Sim Malthus.
Yeah.
So my friends have found a game called Monsters and Memories, which is declared by the people making it as like the spiritual successor to EverQuest. So it's like not trying to copy Warcraft. They're going straight to the ultimate old school MMO, the original MMO. And my friends, I think it started on Labor Day, so they're starting to kick it around, and eventually I'm going to have to like join them. So it looks really interesting that it's like these a love letter to an ancient MMO.
I never played any MMOs, but I know like some friends of mine were playing EverQuest and then made the leap from EverQuest to Warcraft. There was another one in the middle, Guild Wars. Was that it?
Guild Wars. Yeah. Guild Wars. That was a game. Yep.
Everyone who liked EverQuest loved Guild Wars from what I remember.
Oh yeah, I never got into EverQuest or Guild Wars. I was just your basic WoW bitch. And every now and then my friend who was actually into EverQuest would be like, "Yeah, I'm on this server with like six people. They're restarting it." And I'm just like, "Oh my god, dude, please stop." And now he's like grinding WoW hardcore and doing all that kind of stuff, and it's just, I'm like, "Buddy, there's more fish in the sea than just Warcraft and Warcraft derivatives. Like, there's other games you can partake in and enjoy." And the man's like, "Nope, can't do it."
Just gonna start calling La Boo Boos.
Oh God, that would be a far more productive use of his time to collect La Boo Boos. Than
Eric, can you print me a 3D La Boo Boo?
Probably. I'm that, you know, pop culture kind of escapes me. So, but like, I would have no idea what you're talking about, except I just happened to go to Steak and Shake, which has beef tallow fries now.
Oh,
and they were selling them there.
What? They were selling La Boo Boos?
Or there's something, they had an ad for it at Steak and Shake. I didn't look into it too much. No, I think like actually like my son was curious. So we went and checked out, and it turned out like it was like a sweepstakes to enter a chance to win a La Boo Boo or something like that. I don't know.
La Boo Boo.
But once again, Steak and Shake now has beef tallow fries, no seed oils.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I'm leaning in.
The healthiest fries you could possibly have.
We actually had like a good 5-minute conversation about that at the table, because I was laughing about it, and they're like, "What's the deal with beef tallow?" So I had to explain the whole Robert F. Kennedy seed oils bullshit. And so of course everyone breaks out their phones, and they start Googling, "Is beef tallow safer than seed oils?" And the answer, like in one word answer, was no.
The two-word answer was no, but with more, well, no, seriously, no. That's three, but I had to go there. So yeah,
it was the memory of the pie chart, and this was no, and then no, but in yellow.
Yes, exactly.
I sort of obsessively, like, listened to some Maha stuff, and the beef tallow ladies, the ladies that are into beef tallow, like, they cook with it, but they also rub it on their face.
One does.
Yeah, and it's funny because there's some, like, trads that can't keep up with the grift on the beef tallow stuff. They're like, it smells disgusting, and I don't want to rub it on my face. So I even some of the trads can't do the beef tallow thing. How was it? How was the fries?
I honestly could not tell the difference. If they hadn't, if they hadn't had 6 foot high signs telling me, I never would have guessed that it was not made with vegetable oil.
Yeah.
But you know what? It keeps the vegans away.
That was my thought too. I'm like, okay, but what if, you know, like what if you're vegetarian or vegan? You know, and, you know, you can't eat beef tallow in that case. I know. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, this unlocked the memory for me of last week's Lolcow, being the lunatic guy who was claiming he was running a restaurant in Philadelphia that was serving beef tallow food, and then people. And he's like, I'm not making any money, and I can't believe, I thought people cared about this stuff. And then people looked into it, and he's actually, like, inside a Rite Aid, and his hours of operation are terrible. He's, like, open from, like, 11 to 7, so he's, like, missing half of the lunch rush, and he's absolutely missing any, like, evening time when people are, like, done with their daily chores and, like, going out. And he's in a strip mall that has a Raising Cane's, a Popeye's, and another. There's like three big major chicken chains in the same strip mall he's in that he's competing with for market share. So it's just the most ridiculous. He has to be doing this to work an angle in some right-wing grift somewhere, because there's no way this business is designed to actually be a business.
It reminds me of the area I live in used to have a lot of gangsters. Like, I remember not so long ago, one of them getting arrested. He was hiding in a closet in his basement when the cops finally found him. But there was this ice cream shop down the street, and a friend of mine was telling me, yeah, you go in there, it doesn't matter when you're in there, they're out of ice cream. They're always waiting for the shipment, which is coming tomorrow, no matter what. And he told me with authority that what was going on was they were playing illegal poker in the back room, and the whole thing was a mafia front.
Rest in peace, Tony Soprano.
Hey, we don't know he died at the end of that episode.
James Gandolfini is dead.
James Gandolfini is dead.
Rip my heart. I loved him.
Yeah. But Tony Soprano lives. How dare you?
But. In my opinion, his seminal performance will always be in 8mm. And I'm guessing nobody remembers his role in 8mm, because I would have gotten at least a groan from that. he played a sleazy rapist porn director in 8mm.
I've never even heard of this.
It was, oh my God, you got to see 8mm. It is one of the best Nicolas Cage movies of all time. And I mean that in seriousness. He delivers an amazing performance in that movie. Very, like any acting chops that he actually used in that movie.
And it, the film also has one of the most disturbing motives when he finally catches the guy who.
Yeah, but no spoilers.
The killing.
No.
He asks him. He says.
Because I never remember.
I was going to run out and watch 8mm tomorrow, but now that there might be spoilers, fuck that.
You don't have to.
He asks him, why do you do these things? And the guy says, because I can. And then, but it also has a line that was sampled. There's a band called Suicide Commando, and they have a song called Face of Death that samples one of the most iconic lines in the movies, where the killer says, the best part of killing someone is the look on their face. It's that look, not when they're threatened, not when you hurt them, not even when they see the knife. It's when they feel the knife go in. And it's just this. And the only reason I haven't memorized is because I used to listen to that song a lot. But 8mm is a very, and Joaquin Phoenix
Yeah, he's great in it too.
And I love how he's reading in cold blood, but it's hidden. So it looks like that he, instead of having a porno inside of regular book, he has a regular book hidden inside of a porno.
Because he's working as a clerk in a porn shop, so he's trying to keep up appearances. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised that movie never came up with QAnon or something.
Maybe because the director's gay. You know, they can handle directors who later become trans, but an openly gay director, way too much.
Oh, well, what's QAnon's opinion on Jeepers Creepers and Powder then? Because that director was busted for doing stuff with children on film.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I love that this podcast is literally just horrifying anecdotes delivered out of nowhere to the
because it's because of me. I should just not talk sometimes. No,
we have the warning at the beginning of the podcast for a reason. We might as well use it.
Well, we're using it on ourselves. That's the point. It's like normally we have to tell the audience terrible things, and instead it's just Steph being like, "Hey, you know that guy from that thing?" And we're like, not really, but sorta. And then Steph's like, "Yeah, by the way, pedo." And it's like, "Oh, okay, great. Fuck. I mean,
Jeepers Creepers was big in my day.
It was a great movie. It was such a good movie because it was one of the first horror films to counter that whole, like, okay, now people have cell phones. So how do we work around that in a horror scenario? It was one of the first films to do that.
Okay. Everybody, listeners, I know we've been doing pop culture shenanigans for almost half an hour now, but we literally need to watch the new War of the Worlds movie that came out starring Ice Cube, because everybody on TikTok and YouTube is like doing reviews of it because it's like worst movie of all time, shittiest movie of all time. How did this movie get made? Kind of like shit. And, I think like Anonymous plays like a key component of this movie. And yeah, I feel like we should do a shitty movie review. Silence from my co-host.
Is it War of the Worlds is in H.G. Wells and all that?
It's a modern interpretation of like the movie is basically just Ice Cube on his computer going, "Oh shit, the aliens are fucking everything up." And I don't think there's really any action in the movie. It's mostly just people reacting to like the internet information that the aliens are kicking everybody's ass.
So is this like making people long for the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds movie that tanked so horribly?
From everything I'm reading, yes.
At the end of that movie, it turns out that the one thing that the aliens couldn't withstand was Xenu.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
Does Ice Cube comment on whether or not it was a good day?
You know, I think that there is like references. Like, I think that's how cheesy this movie is.
Is there a Felicia in the movie that he does not want to talk to?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. So I think we need to watch it. I think it might be the worst movie ever made, or at least in recent years. So I would like to watch it. Maybe this is just me and I'm forcing a project on us.
I say, but as a hardcore fan of The Room, I am going to be holding up a very strict standard of worst movie of all time.
That's true. That is a good point. But that's a passion. See, that's the thing, is that like, I think this is just a shit movie. Whereas The Room is the passion project of a man who just couldn't do it. He just didn't have it in him, but he respect the grind.
Yeah, it's like that great tweet that was said, "My haters said I couldn't do it, and they were right." Honestly, great call, haters.
Speaking of haters, Stephanie, I need the hot gossip.
The hot goss?
Yes, Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer, what's going on?
They broke up?
I kind of like didn't pay too much attention to what was going on because I just knew like there wasn't going to, number one, I'm lazy. Number two, I knew that there wasn't really going to be proper coverage and I just didn't want to, I listened to like 2 minutes of Owen talking on X. I wanted to wait till Knowledge Fight because Dan breaks it down so much easier and Dan catches all this stuff that I never catch when I listen to Alex Roth. And so the long and short of the Knowledge Fight episode, which is called Farewell, Sweet Ding Dong. It's a 3-hour and 15-minute episode. So it's like the old days. It really, you can just really get into it. Basically, Owen had this influence from a shitty boss, Alex, like, you know, like a lot of entitlement issues and like stuff like that. And Owen was overconfident. So he demanded time off and he got it. And then he kept pushing and pushing. And he wanted to announce that he was leaving InfoWars on InfoWars and then try to get his audience to follow him in his new venture. And Alex was like, no. So it was like, at first it kind of looked like maybe Owen got dicked over, but like even Dan was saying, like, I have to say, but it kind of looks like Owen was just getting too big for his britches. But on the other hand, Alex is also an impossible person to work for. So it's probably a 50-50, you know.
This is like when Steven Crowder got offered that deal by Daily Wire that was like a shit fuck ton of money. And he was like, no, I want even more. And they're like, hey, fuck you. And now he's just like making low tier Rumble streams. Okay, so what's Owen doing? Because is he going down like some more anti-Semitic Nazi route? Is he just like doing his own network? What's this motherfucker up to?
He wants to do his like own news thing. And it was funny because they pointed out in Knowledge Fight, he's like saying like, I want it to be just news. No conspiracy theories, no politics, just straight news. Well, maybe a little conspiracy theories. And he's like, I'm not going to be putting it behind a paywall. But some of the stuff's going to be behind a paywall. It's like, it sounded like he was just like formulating this whole business plan live on air, like completely unthought of. And just like the way Alex presents the news, where it's like you can kind of hear the gears turning where he's inventing the conspiracy theory as he's talking. And it just seems like just poorly planned. And, you know, Owen, if he wants to do anything with like influencing or news or something, he has to either continue to go further right, or he has to do what, I forget the guy's name, what the one guy did where he went to the New York Times with his story and he repented and he apologized and he said, I'm sorry for ever working there. You know, those are his two options. You either repent or you dig in deeper. And he's going to dig in deeper. I'm sure. I'm sure you don't see much repentance.
There's no money in repenting. The money is just continuing to be a right winger and maybe even being a Nazi.
Yeah. Like, and hey, I was never like broadcasting, you know, I posted stuff on Facebook when I was insane, but I was never an influencer. I was never really influential. And to this day, I grapple with did something that I said on Facebook back when I was a conspiracy theorist inspire someone else to become one? And, you know, I'll never know. I'll never have any way of knowing that, but I know I wasn't really an influential person. But, you know, the apology process, the growth process, the coming back process is a very painful one. And depending how deep you are in it, like for an influencer to come back from this, that's rare. That because the money isn't going to be there. And, you know, normal society is going to, if you dig yourself in too deep, like Owen has, I mean, Alex could never come back, but Owen maybe. But he has dug himself in so deep where his only option is repent or keep going. And there's no money in repentance. There really isn't.
Yeah. I saw like online Nazis and like people in like the Stu Peters and like even Nick Fuentes kind of sphere, like publicly reaching out to Owen on the timeline being like, if you need help, setting up advertisers, like, we got you. So, like, the Nazis are already like, hey, we have our networks that we'd like to link you up with. Are they, okay, so are Alex and Owen both still Team Trump at the moment, or is there a rift there too?